Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is John Diamond, the author of The Rise of America, Fighting the Next Revolution and the American Crisis. John, before we continue with this conversation about presidential war-making powers, as some of these presidents have defined it for themselves and what all of the implications of this are, as far as just war theory and the Constitution and whatnot, I've had a caller that would like some information in regard to how to obtain the book. If you would like to address that, go ahead.
Yeah, you can go. You can get it from Amazon if you'd like, but if I'd suggest that you go to my website, which is just theriseofamerica.com. There's a lot of good links on there. I've just found your radio station's link, and I'm going to put that on there because, I mean, people need to really get away from the mainstream press and really hear the truth that you and some of the other talk show hosts from this broadcast that have had me on, and I'm trying to steer as many people that way. So if you could go to my website, theriseofamerica.com, you know, steer people towards this broadcasting network, steer people towards some of the other links I've got, and, you know, we can really get the truth out, but we're going to have to, you know, kind of go the backdoor route because the mainstream press isn't really going to help us.
Yeah, quite clearly so, and I'll mention that again, theriseofamerica.com?
That's correct.
Yes, and I'm sure when when Republic Broadcasting Network puts up the archival information on this particular broadcast at Mark Dancos America, that will include that URL for people as well. I'll also post this with Breaking All the Rules News, which is a leading paleoconservative website in the World Wide Web, which people can get at batr.net/BATR News. But in all of these different locations, we'll put up information on John's website, theriseofamerica.com, and through that website, if not through Amazon, in addition to Amazon, they can procure a copy of this particular work. John, you touched upon something. I'll divert for a minute because I know we're going to head toward one more commercial break before a longer period of time for chatting. Just putting aside, just for a moment, this whole issue of presidential war-making powers and what they really are constitutionally and what they're not, and how that pertains to the current mess that we're in. You've touched upon something that's a constant theme for me, and that's the whole question of mainstream corporate media, what it's not telling us, as well as the lies that it does tell on a very frequent basis. And yet we have now entities like the Republic Broadcasting Network, clearly on the radio waves, and American Free Press in Washington, D.C., is just a couple of examples of where people on the traditional constitutional American right are starting to recognize that in undertaking this battle, we've got to have trusted, verifiable organs of communication that people can turn to get around the forces that quite clearly are involved in the production of news and the spinning of news and the withholding of real news at such places as Time and Newsweek, the New York Times, the Washington Post, some of the neoconservative journals of opinion like Bill Kristol's The Weekly Standard, are all examples of how up to this point, up until recent years, it seems to me that the folks advocating unlimited government at the federal level and ultimately advocating globalism have pretty much had their way up to very recently in regard to the spins that they give the American public through some of these organs of opinion that I've mentioned. Now we've got new entities, including this network and including people like you writing the volumes that you're writing. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you to respond to the idea that maybe in a whole new set of ways, we're a threat to what has been a pretty controlled system up to this particular point. Back for a longer period of conversation with John Diamond. When Mark Dancos America returns from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, John's book is The Rise of America, Fighting the Next American Revolution and the Constitutional Crisis.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is John Stafford, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
We're back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is John Diamond of Columbus, Ohio, who has authored a book entitled The Rise of America, Fighting the Next Revolution and the American Crisis. John, we were talking before these last couple of commercial breaks about the whole issue of presidential war-making powers. And what they are and what they're not in regard to the Constitution. We can perhaps explore that for a little bit this afternoon, but it seems to me as well that we're talking about something that's not simply theoretical argument between two competing worldviews related to the American Constitution, but we're now talking about something that's a real reality. This story that I cited at the beginning of the show, coming from the Washington Post, Casey Hunt's story on December 21st, that the Selective Service System is planning a comprehensive test of the military draft machinery, which hasn't been run since 1998. And as I read that story, I'm reminded of something that Ron Paul said recently in his Straight Talk that was reproduced in the American Free Press for December 4th and 11th, and it is as follows. Military needs aside, this is Ron Paul speaking here, the Republican congressman from Texas. Military needs aside, some politicians simply love the thought of mandatory service to the federal government. The political right favors sending young people to fight in aggressive wars like Iraq. The political left longs to send young people into harm's way to save the world in places like Darfur. But both sides share the same belief that citizens should serve the needs of the state, a belief our founders clearly rejected in the Declaration of Independence. Kind of run with that, John, in terms of your own view of these issues constitutionally related to war and related to draft.
Yeah, when we talk about, I mean, just involvement with foreign nations, the book that I have written right now was actually three times bigger than it was, and when I sent it to my publisher, she said it would never sell. It would cost $100 to shorten it. Well, we reached a compromise, and what I did was broke it into three and almost possibly four books. So this is the first of a series. But one of them deals with kind of socialist America, how our founding fathers created a republic where the states pretty much had control of their own lives, as opposed to a strong, very, very strong national or federal government. And as that has evolved over the years from state sovereignty to basically everything being run from the federal government level, this is just, like you said, this is just one more of the powers that the federal officials have taken upon themselves, the power to make war without the will of the people, without approval from Congress, the will, and here's one of the big things, to take money out of our pockets, you know, and to put this country so far in debt that we may never get out, to fund a war overseas that constitutionally, not only morally, but constitutionally, we have no right even being there.
Well, that's my take on the thing, too. And it seems to me that between the atrocity that has been committed in terms of our constitutional republic related to war-making powers and the role of the people in Congress in this constitutionally, and the fact that the chief executive of the United States constitutionally does not have the authority to do something like this.
That's right.
Without a constitutional declaration of war, Article 1, Section 8, that presumably is rooted in the will of the people being expressed through their constitutional representatives, that we should be involved in a fight somewhere for some compelling reason. When that's ignored, it seems to me that any semblance of a free society has simply gone by the wayside. Am I correct in perceiving this that way?
You're absolutely right. And that's, again, just the whole thrust of my book is just that we were supposed to be a nation of the people by the people. Like, as Alexander Hamilton said when he was drafting the Constitution in the Federalist Papers, he said, "Sir, in this country, the people reign." Well, that's just not the case anymore. The American people, you can take some very non-divisive issues like flag burning. 90% of the American people are against burning their flag. Eminent domain, over 90% are against that. Taking God out of the Pledge of Allegiance, over 90% are against that. But this stuff is being forced upon us by a handful of judges, and that's the whole thrust of my book. Five judges are ruling America. We have went from a country of the people. We went from a country of tyranny, where, and that's why I call it fighting the next American Revolution. Because when you compare the first American Revolution, and then you compare it to where we are today, our government has become the same tyrants that our founding fathers broke away from. It evolved right back into the same government with just different names.
Well, you know, one of the things to me that's particularly fascinating, and you're an example of this phenomenon, John. I suppose I am too. Certainly, Debbie Hopper of Mothers Against the Draft would be another name that would immediately come to mind, along with Ron Paul, certainly from the 14th Congressional District of Texas, the Republican / Libertarian congressman. We're starting to see at least a few voices on the traditional American right coming forth to say, hey, this stuff has got to stop. This stuff is unconstitutional. It's destroying our Constitution. It's destroying the free character of our society. We're getting billions of dollars in debt to foreign banks. Our political capital abroad is being spent atrociously by the second as we're creating and recruiting an entire new set of enemies for ourselves, I would argue. based on our foreign policy, particularly with what we're now doing in the Middle East and Central Asia. Do you find it significant that there are now a few voices on the traditional American right that are stepping up to the plate against this neoconservative ideology? And do you sense at some juncture that this is going to produce a more obvious split just on the American right alone in regard to these issues? Because I continue to be struck by the fact, as I listen to you and as I listen to John Eidsmo and Howard Phillips, and as I read the things that Mike Piper and some other people put out for American Free Press, there is a point at which the things that you folks are saying, which I happen to agree with, by the way, are mirroring some of the same objections that have been put forth by some people on the American left.
That's exactly right, and that's the great thing about this book. Let me just explain to you why I wrote this book. If you look through American history, and like I said, I love history, so all my books are really are historical kind of based. If you look through history, every great movement that was ever started, what started them? The pen, the power of the pen. When they say the pen is mightier than the sword, they're absolutely right. What coerced the American, I won't say coerced because we use that as a negative word, but what got the American people motivated to break free from Britain? It was Thomas Paine's Common Sense. He wrote a book saying, look, these are your rights. They're being infringed on. You don't have to take it. Stand up and do something about it. So, I mean, and that's why I wrote this. I wrote this as almost like another Common Sense, just to educate the American people. These are your rights. These are being infringed on, and you don't have to take it. You can look at the Civil War when we talk about Harry Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin. That's the one thing Abraham Lincoln even said. So you're the woman that started this war. I mean, her writings is what so infuriated everybody against the horrors of slavery, because many southern or northern people, and especially the northern Christians, had no idea a lot of these atrocities were happening. And then the civil rights movement. You can look at Martin Luther King's 1963 letter from the Birmingham jail, where that was widely circulated and got the people fired up to say, wait a minute, we're treating these people wrong. This is absolutely wrong. So every great movement in American history has been started by writings, have been started by just distributing this to the American people and just enlightening them to what it is, you know, their rights are.
Do you think it's possible, John? I mean, I'm just speculating here, but as I watch these news reports coming out of Iran and follow what the neoconservative press is saying, both in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, as well as in Washington and New York, about what they argue and insist is our need to go to war with Iran, our right to go to war with Iran, so forth and so on. Aside from all of my own political and economic and military ideas, which raise objections to what they're talking about, just on the constitutional issue alone. Let's say that we wake up some morning and discover that there has been yet another incident, false flag or otherwise, that the President of the United States uses to commit massive military forces, additional massive military forces into the Middle East and specifically into Iran. And if we suddenly have an announcement emanating from the Selective Service people that there's going to be a draft to support this latest military move, and if the Congress, as it did 3.5 years ago, simply acquiesces to all of this, do you perceive that that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back in terms of a much larger, wider segment of the American population, left, right, and center, standing up and saying, no way, we don't go along with this, this is unconstitutional, it's unlawful, our voice has not been heard in this, we're not sending our sons and daughters into this mess. Do you think that that can happen?
I think it absolutely will happen. The one point I might debate a little bit is when they say, is this constitutional? I found out that the American people are so ignorant of the Constitution, they couldn't tell you what was constitutional and what is not. So that's the reason that I wrote the book. But, yeah, there would be an absolute outrage on the left and on the right. And what I do in this book, see, I try to get away from the conservative versus liberal name-calling. And so you have to understand my background. One, I'm a Christian, so most of the people I fellowship vote Republican. I'm also a third-generation union member, so most of my family and most of the people I work with vote Democrat. But when I talk to them about state sovereignty and the Constitution and our rights, everybody agrees with me. So we need
John,
to get...
You've anticipated what was to be my next question for you, and hold that thought. I want to come back to that immediately when we return. Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with John Diamond.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you're mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com. Or call 702-953-0267.
Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is John Diamond, the author of The Rise of America. And John, getting back to what we were talking about in terms of the subtitle of your book as well, Fighting the Next American Revolution and the Constitutional Crisis, you were starting to get into your own background. You've been in the Air Force. That's my dad's background, by the way. He's a retired Air Force colonel. You're also a Christian, an evangelical Christian. I learned that from reading some of your materials. And yet it seems that many of these fine people, and I'm talking about the good ones now.
Right.
I'm not talking about some people that I've discussed before on this show who head up certain organizations that, in my judgment, are fronts for the neoconservative movement and for the Israeli lobby in the United States that are
absolutely
trying to pull the Christian right along in terms of this unconstitutional situation and getting them to unwittingly support globalist forces that they don't even understand. But since you know these people well, I'm talking about the good ones. And you rub shoulders and elbows with these folks all the time based upon the fact that you are a Christian. When you encounter people in Christian circles and in conservative Republican circles, the good ones, who tend to believe without much question what they're told by the talking chieftains of Fox News and so forth, do you find that there's a terrific amount of resistance to your attempt to get back to a focus upon what the Constitution of the United States?
Are you there?
United States. Can you hear me?
You broke up there for a little bit.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I was just saying, in terms of, you know, what you're presenting to them, which is a constitutional worldview, when you're talking to your friends in traditional Christian and Republican circles who don't have this down properly, are you finding there's a lot of resistance to these ideas, or are you breaking through and making some headway with a few folks who are maybe beginning to sense that something's wrong and they need the proper historical and ideological and constitutional framework with which to evaluate what's happened?
I'll tell you what, I'm not only making headway through with the people that, you know, that I consider my friends and the people that I go to church with who primarily vote Republican, but I'm also making headway through with all my union brothers and sisters who primarily vote Democrat just because the unions tell them to. And you should just see the look on their face when I talk to either side. And I say, don't worry about party. Don't think about any of this. Let's just talk about the issues. And what I break down in my book, and I try to really narrow the focus, I said it's not about Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, all these things. It comes down to two things. It comes down to socialism, and it comes down to secularism. And that's what I define in my book. Socialism, when I ask anybody on the right or the left in this country, do you believe in socialism? Do you believe that our country should be run by a handful of people in Washington, D.C., or do you think that we should have a say-so in our own lives, every single one of them? In Democratic circles and Republican circles, the people now, not the parties, all agree. Yes, they're against socialism. Over 90% of the American people are against any type of socialistic government that we have become. Now, when I take the issue to secularism, which is basically just kicking God and religion out of every aspect of society, you know, I ask them, do you think our kids should be able to say Merry Christmas in school? Do you think they should be able to sing Christmas carols or have Christmas plays? Do you think Under God should be in the pledge? Over 90% all agree they're against the total secularization of society. But again, all power has been put into the hands of a few people, and I use this illustration in my book. It's like a ship. You can have 99 out of 100 people on a ship who want to go north, but if you got one guy that goes back and hijacks the rudder, he can turn that entire ship around, even if the rest of the people on the ship don't want to go that direction. And that's what's happened in America. We've consolidated every bit of power in Washington, D.C., and in the Supreme Court, and now the evil forces in this country realize they don't have to worry about the state courts or the state legislature. All they have to do is get control of the federal officials, and they can steer this country any way they're going, contrary to what the common man wants, whether they're union Democrats or church-going, you know, Republican Christians.
Well, you know, this to me identifies something that I was discussing some years ago with Michael Perutka when he was running for president on the Constitution Party line. He and I were sitting in his office. He had asked me to drive from Philadelphia down to Baltimore, have a chat on some things, and later to speak to the Constitution Party State Convention in Baltimore. Okay. And at the time when Perutka was getting ready to announce that he was going to run for president, he was sounding me out as a friend and past associate in terms of what he ought to be thinking about and emphasizing. And I told him, and I'd like for you to, based on your background, to interact with this. I told him that I felt this dreadful war and all of this this talk from time to time of a reinstitution of a selective service draft was absolutely key in a political campaign of the type that he was attempting to run. Because as I talk to folks left, right, and center around the country, the ones who feel the way that we do on these issues tend to gravitate around that one as the one that most impacts their lives and will in the future. And it seems to me we might have a point with which to then attack. We will be back with John Diamond, the author of The Rise of America, Fighting the Next American Revolution, when Mark Gankoff's America returns. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is John Diamond of Columbus, Ohio, and his new book, The Rise of America, Fighting the Next American Revolution and the Constitutional Crisis. John, before the break, we were talking a little bit about this whole issue of the war and the draft. I'm coming across so many people, left, right, and center, that have now figured out what is going on, even from mainstream media sources. Aren't we looking, and this was my suggestion to Perutka a few years ago when he was running for president on the Constitution Party line, isn't this war and isn't the threat of a draft a real key part of this in maybe finding the issue and finding the circumstance that will overthrow this elite once and for all and get people back to the constitutional basics in this country?
I tell you what, you wouldn't believe how much on the same wavelength we are. I wrote a letter to Chairman Tom Reynolds of the Republican Party a couple days ago, withdrawing and telling him officially that I'm withdrawing from the Republican Party, and then I signed up for the Constitution Party about 7 o'clock this morning, and I said the exact same things to them. I said, you know, you guys have got such a great, strong platform to take the power back out of this corrupt two-party system that we got, but you just need to get this information into the hands of the American people. The draft is something I didn't even think of till you just brought it up, but yeah, that's a very, very good point, because people on both sides will be opposed to it. But that's what I was suggesting. I said, look, you know, I use the principles or the ideas of my book as your platform, because as I said, 90% of the American people, I gave my book to my father, who's he's not even a Christian, but he worked in the steel mills in Pennsylvania. He's a hardcore Union Democrat. It always has been. I gave him my book, and he says, this is awesome. I agree with everything you said. And then I give it to my pastor, who's far right, and he says, this is awesome. I agree with everything you said. And I give it to my union members. Everybody in America would jump on this platform if we could just present it to the American people, whether it's the draft, whether it's socialism, whether it's secularism. I mean, this gives us the ideal platform to either form a third party or take one of the parties over, whatever it is we have to do. But I agree with you 100%. I mean, the truth is there. We just got to get it out. And the only way we're going to be able to do it is, like, through your show, through my book, through the web blogs, and through the Internet, because, as we said before, the mainstream journalism is not going to do it.
Yeah, and to me, again, I have to emphasize with a number of, like you, John, the number of people I talk to representing different backgrounds, different ideological perspectives, ranging from a blue-collar Union Democrat to Christian, legitimate Christian right pastor. There's something happening out there. I sense it. And
right.
I sense that as more ominous reports continue to emanate out of Washington as far as this war is concerned with Iran, that I think is very close to happening, and as the American people begin to at least seep in what you and I have already figured out, and that is that both of the major parties are in the hands of corporate interests, they're in the hands of the Israeli lobby, they're at the hands of a very small political and economic elite that wants to commit the lives of thousands and thousands of people to something that benefits them and not the rest of us. More folks are, I'm sensing, glomming onto this in a way that if the anti-corporate media and the paleo-conservative old right media and the populist right media can continue hammering away, I'm just thinking that this may present the first real opportunity in I don't know how long to rescue the American people from their ignorance and their passivity, get them back to an understanding of their constitutional heritage as it relates to things that are directly in front of them, their lives, the lives of their children and grandchildren, their ability to make a living that has in many cases been taken away from them by corporate economic interests, and then, of course, this whole issue of the dying and the killing that is going on in Iraq, seemingly without end. I'm just, you know, a feeling more and more of this sort of thing blowing in the wind. And when one takes them again, not back to partisan party politics, but to the Constitution of this country, that's where I think there is an intersection with decent thinking people from a variety of walks of life in this country that might lead finally to something happening. And I think it may well be this war that does it.
Oh, I agree 100% with what you just said. That's exactly what I try to do in this book. I try to reach out to both sides and say, look, let's put aside all the political, you know, bitterness that's going on out there among the mainstream, and let's just, me and you as America, let us reason together, as the Bible says. Let us just sit down and look at the issues. And when we sit down and look at the issues, I find out that the Union Democrat is in much agreement with the religious right on most issues in this country. And I really think it's, like you said, I believe in divine providence. I think just as a time as this that the wind is starting to blow. The American people, when I talk to my Union Democrat buddies, they say, I ain't going to vote. I'm so sick of the Democratic Party. When I talk to some on the Christian right, and you saw it in the last election, I'm so sick of the Republican Party giving us a bunch of lip service and then not doing anything. The American people are getting so disillusioned with both parties that I think it's a prime opportunity for somebody to step up or a party to step up and you know, really take the reins back.
Well, let's, and that's, and again, that's my take on the thing, too. And let's assume in a most draconian scenario that I prove to be correct. I've been saying for some time on this show that I think this war with Iran is going to happen. I think it has the fingerprints of the Israeli lobby and the American neoconservatives all over it.
Right.
And that if that war does happen, I think the results will be particularly disastrous, not simply in terms of loss of life and political blowback, but I would suspect that all of these bankers, particularly the Asian bankers that are holding all these American debt instruments, will suddenly dump those on the open market, and that we will then see an American dollar in complete free fall with all of the derivative consequences of that. If that should play out, how do we, in the best sense of the word, how do we take back our government and take back our government in a way that is nonviolent, that does not involve anarchy, that does not involve dangerous leftist revolutionary tendencies toward Marxism and socialism and so forth? How do you think we're gonna do that? If the opportunity comes, if there is a massive revolt in this country that's triggered by the expansion of this war and the economic catastrophe that would result from a dumping of dollar debt instruments, if that happens, what's the best case scenario in terms of being able to implement something from here that fundamentally saves the republic that some argue is already gone?
Right, right. And if I thought that, I wouldn't even be wasting. Like I said, I put $10,000 of my own money into getting this book self-published. So, I mean, I just think it's going to take a lot of people that do a lot of self-sacrifice like our founding fathers did just to not worry about profits, not worry about this. I've given more copies of my book away than anything else, because if I thought America was doomed and there was no chance of saving it, I'd just sit here and wait for it to happen. But that's why I wrote this book, is to try to save that. But Winston Churchill said, you know, those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. Now, you can take that in a good way or a bad way. A lot of our leaders do not learn from the lessons from the past. But on the positive side of it, I believe we can look back into history and say what worked. When we were faced with almost identical circumstances, you know, 150 years ago, what worked? Well, if you look at the Civil War, and you look, you know, in about the 15 years leading up to the Civil War, and this is what my second book is about, so I'll give you a little foreshadowing of it. If you look at the two-party system, it was the Democratic Party who supported slavery and the Whig Party who was a bunch of moderates. All they would do is run to the religious right and ask for their votes and say, yeah, we're against slavery too, we're against slavery too. But then every time the tire hit the road, they would compromise. And that you had the Missouri Compromise. They would not do anything to get rid of slavery. The religious right in America got so mad at the Whig Party that Abraham Lincoln formed really the Republican Party, which was called the Radical Right, or the Radical Republicans is what they were called at the time, and the Whig Party died off. I really see that same type of scenario taking place in America. The American right, the Christian right, if anything, is so disillusioned with the Republican Party that they're either going to quit voting or they're going to break off. The thing is they'll take some of the more conservative Democrats, mostly union members, with them. Let me read you the letter that I wrote, just a real small bit of a letter I wrote to Republican Party Chairman Tom Reynolds. It said, I'm writing you this letter in response to officially declare my withdrawal from the Republican Party. Like many Christian conservatives, I have come to realize that the Republican Party offers nothing more than lip service to the religious right in America, just long enough to win the elections and then move right back to the middle until the next election when you need our support once again. Your party has had control of the U.S. government, the Congress, House of Representatives, and presidency for more than 6 years, and you have done nothing more than run up the national deficit, greatly enlarge the powers of the federal government while destroying many of our constitutional rights under the guise of national security. I said, and then I go on to say, I am a Christian, an Air Force veteran, and a third-generation union member, and I have a unique perspective of this issue from both sides. And that, you know, they really, I don't believe that they're going to. I think they're going to die off. I think they'll become the Whig Party as it was before the Civil War. Because they will not survive without the religious right. You know, they will not survive with the moral conservatives. And if the moral conservatives left the Republican Party, which Chuck Baldwin on, I think it was Chuck Baldwin Live, just sent an email out yesterday saying he was leaving the Republican Party for the Constitution Party. If we can get the the Christian right, the leaders, the Dobsons, and the people that are politically active, the Rod Parsley, whatever, to realize that, hey, the Republican Party's given us nothing but lip service. You know, you can't even get a flag-burning amendment passed, for crying out loud, and 90% of the American people support it. So, I mean, from a positive aspect, I think that's what has to happen.
Well, let me ask you something, and again, it's not my habit to try and put a guest on the spot here, John.
No, go right ahead.
I try to ensure that the interview is conversational and that people get a chance to put their case forward on whatever it is that they want to talk about. And, of course, it's very apparent to me that ideologically you and I would have a lot in common, and I think that your book is going to be of service to a lot of people. But I'll provide an editorial take of my own on the Christian right in this country, and then
okay.
I want you to editorialize on it. I feel that when one looks at the mainstream Christian right, I'm talking about the good people now, and their past, I would argue largely monolithic support for the Republican Party. And ironically enough, for what, in my view, is the Rockefeller Republican sitting in the White House right now.
Right.
I believe that a lot of their deception, and these are the good people I'm talking about here, that it's a deception that in many respects is rooted in the alliance that they have as a whole, as a rule, with the Israeli lobby, both in the United States as well as its counterpart abroad. Do you agree with that? I mean, I feel that when I look at the Jewish constituency in the United States, and I am not an anti-Semite, but when I look at the mainstream Jewish organizations in the United States that at one level have fostered an alliance with the Christian right because of this whole issue of Israel, that in many respects these Jewish organizations, I'm talking about the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, just as a classic example, Hadassah, the American Jewish Congress, and so forth and so on, are leftists. These are people who present a leftist point of view culturally, who present a leftist point of view economically, and I would argue are the main glue that holds together the internationalist globalist element that wants to use the United States military for purposes around the world that are not in our national interest, and I would say especially in terms of this Middle East situation. And yet the majority of the Christian right, it seems to me, is hung up at that point because of their visceral emotional relationship with the Jewish and Israeli lobbies. What do you feel about that?
I would say that you are absolutely right. You know, it's the left. Now, when you look at the Jewish community in America, you have a right. You know that you can bring up Daniel Lappin, who talks about, you know, Judean Christian principles and that we were a country that was founded on morality. But then you have all the anti-definition league. You have the kind of Jewish left in this country. So you have them both. But the Jewish left is far more powerful in this country than the Jewish right, as you said, and they're the ones that are steering a lot of the policy, you know, so that we're over there basically trying to provide a safe Middle East for Israel. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I support Israel and I support the right to exist. But then again, you know, we're out there and thousands of our boys are dying, and it's not to restore democracy. It's not for a lot of the, you know, things that they're being told. I mean, one of the major thrusts is because of this behind-the-scene, you know, involvement by these leftist, you know, Jewish groups.
Oh, no question about it. It's, you know, as I've done some more reading and more research on this in recent times. Now, I have not had any conversations in recent years with Constitution Party people like Mike Perutka and like Chuck Baldwin, and I like both of these guys. But it's just my perception, and again, this may be unfair to them, but it's my perception that whereas Michael Perutka was talking very, very well several years ago about the so-called Project for a New American Century and how that organization and that document, A Clean Break, Securing the Realm, that whole thing was a disaster in terms of an America First foreign policy, and Perutka had that much of it down correctly. But I'm sensing that Michael and maybe some of the other folks in the Constitution Party might be a little more reticent to talk about this Jewish issue. Would that be your feeling?
Well, right, because I mean, if you're not a Jew, and this applies to just about everything. If you're not a Jew and you start saying anything about the Jewish community, well, people automatically want to point the finger and say anti-Semite. I mean, if you're white and you say anything about, you know, an African American, automatically they want to say, even if they're absolutely right. You know, I mean, Bill Cosby gets up and he's a black man. He says what the problem is with the African American community, and he gets vilified. Well, they can't call him a racist because he's the same color. It's the same, you know. It's almost like if you're another nationality, if you're another religion, if you're not, it's almost like you're not allowed to talk about anybody else. And it doesn't come from hate. It doesn't come from, I'm not a racist. I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm not none of these things. But I mean, if there's something wrong, it needs to put its finger on. Don't call me a racist or a bigot or an anti-Semite. I mean, if there's something wrong in a certain aspect of our community, it needs to be identified. But we have to absolutely show that we're not coming from, you know, that extreme position.
Yeah, and again, this to me is such a core idea and core principle that separates what I would argue is the constitutionally oriented American right, the old right, the paleoconservative right on the one hand, and this neoconservative element on the other. We will be back with John Diamond when Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free. 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, and as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheetah techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks all revealed. It took us a lifetime to learn. Now you get it all. You can pay off your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. You can start this great hidden career today. Just give us a call at 1-780-457-7109. That's 1-780-457-7109. Again, that's 1-780-457-7109. Or visit us at www.windowgenie.com.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is John Diamond, who has authored a book entitled The Rise of America, Fighting the Next Revolution and the American Crisis. You can obtain that volume by going to John's website at www.theriseofamerica.com or by talking to the good folks at Amazon. And I have an apology to make to a couple of our callers. I did not see those calls, and they came up on my computer screen when I refreshed the callers page. I want to work one of those folks in right away. Richie in Louisiana, you're on the line for John Diamond. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my call. John, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I just a very interesting topic, how timely and current, and I just want to put my little 2 cents in.
Okay.
While I encourage and admire your enthusiasm and your optimism, after all, our Messiah does tell us, "Let not your heart be troubled."
Right.
But for this idea of reclaiming America or taking America back, to me, it seems that the prophecy angle from the scripture and the fact that Babylon has so permeated our zeitgeist and our cultural paradigm, in order for these people who you say, this 90% who you say you speak with about, oh yes, we, how terrible the federal government takes, you know, runs the show and we don't have our freedom, how many of these people would be willing to, you know, give up their Social Security or to change, to come out of this economic system that holds us in its grip with the mortgages and the usury on credit cards? And how many of these people who want to take back the country and have our rights want to school their own children? You know, these benefits that the system has given guardian ward relationship, these people don't want to give that up, even though in theory, you know, everyone wants their freedom, but at what price, sir?
No, absolutely right, and I think you see that throughout American history. And it's a lot of easy for people to talk the talk when their bellies are full, but when, you know, when this is the problem that I have is, see, I don't take anything from the federal government because I realize that what Thomas Jefferson said, a government big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take everything you have, and that's the message I really preach. And, you know, if you think you're getting anything free from the government, you're deceiving yourself. It's either on loan, on credit, or it's coming out of your pocket.
And, John, you're so true on that. And my point was, well, again, as I said, I appreciate your enthusiasm, but prophetic angle in my, you know, Hebrew background tells me that, you know, perhaps there will be a revival in this nation, but eventually the system, these things must come to pass where the system does take this nation over and the world, and then we have the hope in our Messiah to return and return to a pre, say, 1865 America, where the whole thought process of Americans was completely different. They hadn't been tempted with socialism and Marxism, and they were a godlier people back then.
I agree with exactly what you're saying, and there's very few that are going to stand up in the face of persecution and adversity, and we have to be those few.
Broad is the way to perdition, narrow is the way to salvation.
Amen, brother.
Good night.
God bless you guys, and God bless America in these difficult times. Thanks to John Diamond for coming on, the author of The Rise of America, Fighting the Next Revolution and the American Crisis. You can find John at www.theriseofamerica.com. This is Mark Dankoff signing off from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Have a blessed Christmas weekend.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.